Other people peeing on other people, whatever. As long as it's consensual, it's fine,
I
right?
wonder if in porno movies when the woman does the squirting, I wonder if that smells like raw meat.
Unless she's given a diet of nothing but raw meat,
That seems like the porn star diet.
because
I
that's
mean,
what tigers are
it's
eating.
high protein. Well, you need a lot of carbs.
Yeah, we're starting. We're definitely starting. Welcome to AE Double Back for December 8th, 2021.
I have a point I was making that I would really love permission to finish right now.
Dear God, I'm worried. I'm concerned because the conversation. Well, okay, you know what? It wasn't really going so well before that, so have at it.
Oh, no, I don't want to. I don't need to impose my thoughts on this matter to the world. That's my gift to all, and
Wow. Merry
I
Christmas
will
to
receive the
everyone.
karma this Christmas.
New boy, what day is it? It's Christmas Day, sir. Tell you what, I'm not going to tell you about the thoughts I have about meat pee. Thank you, sir.
Look, it's just what anybody th would think, like these are things that we all think we are alone in.
Nope. Never once thought about meat pee.
You're thinking about
Never
it
in my
right
life until
now.
Teresa
You're gonna
brought it up.
tomorrow, tonight.
I never thought about it until I found out it's a thing.
And then you had to put it into orbit. Anyway, we're talking about wrestling.
Meat pee, meat sweats.
We're
The like
talking
meat is coming
about
out in so many ways now.
the cook for the clowns for Brian McBailey.
Send in the clown's cook.
Yeah.
Man, there are a lot. The show started with Excalibur saying like our hearts go out to like Jim Ross and Justin Roberts. I'm like, dang, everybody going down this winter. What's up?
Everyone, the announcer for AEW Dynamite, a commentator for AEW Dynamite, literally everyone.
I mean, that's a lot of people. Like,
That's two very big personalities
and when you're talking
snuffed.
condolences at the beginning of a wrestling show, you usually don't get, sometimes you'll get one, two.
Anyway, so we're in Long Island. And the first thing we hear is MJF's music, but guess what? It's not him, it's CM Punk. And he's wearing a shirt with four pillars, but instead of MJF, there's Britt on there.
Delicious.
Dun dun dun.
Are they selling that one yet? Because I'm into it.
Probably.
Are you allowed to commandeer someone else's music?
I think the precedent that's already been set by others says yes.
I feel like what it should be, and this is my proposal, is that every single performer has a special key, and they're in the truck, the broadcast truck. There's a gigantic panel with like a key turn for every single wrestler's music, and the right wrestler has to come up and put their key into the right like music ignition and
That's
turn
very
it.
romantic.
Yeah, that's what I'm all about.
I love how CM Punk was talking to Long Island and really dogging on it, which, it's not uncommon for there to be beef with Chicago and, anything having to do with New York or whatever, because they're always, New York's always dogging on Chicago, so Chicago dishes it right back. But yeah, so CM Punk's like about MJF. He's like, "This incel, this is your guy? Why is this your guy?" I mean, he was negging the hell out of the people and the city, the area that is Long Island. But
I mean, he was ripping the New York Islanders more than the like radio crew for a rival hockey team would.
I mean, if you're a Blackhawks fan, you're gonna do it. You know what I
Blackhawks
mean?
have no room to to rip anyone.
Excuse you. They won the Stanley Cup like not
Okay,
long
all
ago.
right now. I
Anyways.
understand that this East Coast sports feuding sort of thing is how it's done over there, but we're in laid back Los Angeles, California now, and we
Yeah.
don't give a shit.
Yeah, because we don't have any of those things. So, well, it went on way too long, but I still thought it was kind of fun, so I thumbs it up.
I thumbs it up too. It was CM Punk was just having fun, just, you know, like being a heel and, you know, doing talking it in a space shit. Where, yeah, it people could just sort of take it as fun. It's kind of interesting because this is essentially what happened a few weeks ago when when Danielson went heel. He just did that, and then everyone was like, boo!
Yeah.
Boo! But
what Muppet was that?
Yeah, that was a Muppet for sure.
I don't know.
That was Muppet Cookie Monster if he were to go to a football game or something.
This was fun, and yeah, hopefully he'll just be back to regular old CM Punk next week. But, you know, it was great.
Yeah, it was all right. I think that it was a little repetitive, and I didn't dislike it. I middled it because there was definitely good stuff, but had it That's been fair. Maybe tighter and more varied, that would have been even cooler.
Yeah.
It's interesting the way they've been doing it. We talked about this, that they seem to be skewing a little closer to the WWE model of going heavy on these kinds of openings and promos that are meant to sell the action, as opposed to being like, the action is enough.
Yeah.
I will say that I hope they continue the trend of sort of just mixing it up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem with starting out with a promo. Just don't do it every week. Don't do it for, you know, months on end. I want to be surprised basically every time I turn on the TV.
Yeah. So the next bit, we see a car driving and I was like, wait, is this a commercial or what is this? And it actually was one of the greatest promos I've ever seen in my life. It was an MJF promo. It looked and sounded like a car commercial, but damn, he said some weird shit. Like, he was in the Allstate choir. Captain of the acapella group. Just a lot of Long Island references, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the acapellas.
Mm-hmm. As a diehard fan of the Pitch Perfect series of films, that I would have paid attention to the name of his acapella group. Not the most original, but hey, man, it's a classic.
Yeah.
Acapellas is classic.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huge thumbs up. It comes in blasting Billy Joel, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
That is so... this is a little bit of the...
The stick was so heavy.
The goofy heel stuff he was doing with Jericho. And I love to see, you know, the different facets of his heeldom.
Yeah, he's very good at the comical heel for sure, but he's also so good at the straight heel. And it was very, like, I just was very compelled by kind of the psychology of this particular one, because it was sort of insidious in how reasonable it started to make certain things sound, where he was sort of like, it was like a context promo, like, you know, in this place, like, blah, 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 like, I am this. And you're like, oh, I guess that must be true. Like, and you start to lose your tether to, like, no, he's a bad guy. He's doing bad things. And you're just like, oh, I guess that's a community thing. I don't know.
That's what they do there. That's just the culture.
So then we have MJF coming out. And the crowd is going absolutely crazy, and he seems kind of emotional, which I like to see that kind of stuff for wrestlers, because, you know, you like to see them appreciate the fans and the fans appreciating them. That's always cool.
I do wonder, like, if that is he gets down on his knees and you can see him smiling. And I'm curious if that was a genuine response, like he's genuinely happy and fulfilled that, you know, like, his hometown fans are like cheering for him, even though he's a bad guy, or if he is so good that he is giving this pseudo sincere response that makes even someone who, you know, thinks they know what's going on, thinks they're smart to the business, get suckered in by that.
I mean, my thinking is that he's still always playing the game, like because he insults children at events because he doesn't ever, you know, let down like the performance. So like I know he must feel that, but I think he keeps it in. I think he is always like working with that to create the facade.
But the performance it would hold true for him to be, you know, emotionally taken aback, you know, by people loving him because he's been, you know, he gets booed so much now, right?
Yeah.
So this is the opposite of that. They didn't boo him at all. So
I'm just saying that, like, I feel like Andy Kaufman sort of set this model many, many years ago, and a lot of people have tried to follow him, mostly comedians. But he did this sort of hybrid thing that took from the professional wrestling and sort of the carny culture. And like nobody has really been able to match it since. There are people who've tried and they've, you know, not done a good job. I kind of wonder if he is the true heir to that throne.
I don't really know what you mean because I literally have no reference to what the fuck Andy Kaufman did that you're talking about.
I would at all
marry with what MJF is doing. So
I really enjoy that Chan like took his time to like with all seriousness and like a perspective on history. Going back decades, he was like, and you know what? I think we might be looking at the chosen one. And then Teresa says, what?
Yeah.
You suck, bro.
Well, anyways, this was the match for the special ring. And it was a really full match. It was a lot of fun. But I have to say my favorite bit was when Hobbs and Wardlow went against each other for a bit there. And I was like, this needs to be an actual match. I need to see these two against each other because this looks unreal and
meat
amazing.
Slapping meat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you get some meat pee out of that most likely.
Yeah. Nope.
No, no.
Give it to a tiger. I promise you will.
Nope.
Leo did some really cool stuff. The lights went out and it was red and blue for a bit. And I don't know what the fuck that was, but apparently, I was reading about this later. It was not a production snafu. So what the fuck is that going to mean? And some people think it's like a hint towards Wyndham. Who the fuck knows? I mean, I so don't think Wyndham's going to happen anymore because there was a time when I was very hopeful and, or curious, I should say, but that time has passed.
Braun Strowman just showed up in ROH, which is surprising.
Well, I think, and incidentally, I'm going to be, I'm meaning to watch that, like at some point after we record today. So, like, but my impression was that it was like everybody is pitching in kind of a thing that I wouldn't think has a lot of meaning. I think that there were a lot of people just showing up or getting loaned out by their promotions.
Yeah, I heard Tony Khan was open to that as well.
I mean, still, though, that's his first appearance.
Right, that's true.
So, yeah.
Dante Martin, who we think is buddies with Ricky Starks, tossed Ricky Starks out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck does this mean now?
What?
So now it's going to be MJF against Dante Martin, which makes me think that, you know, MJF is going to keep the ring. I was hoping for there might be a change. But
yeah, I don't know. It seems to me that the ring is the paraphernalia solely of heels. It's hard to imagine what a face would gain from it or do with it, because it's interesting because I don't know what level of prestige there is to having it. It's not a title. It's
literally his gimmick. It's MJF's whole gimmick.
Yeah.
So he kind of has to have it, right?
Here's the thing, though. It's also a King of the Ring type thing. You get to carry the scepter around for a year, and essentially it transfers heelship you can become a heel and walk around with the ring, be all highfaluting and using it to cheat to win. So this, he could win it and be a heel, which would be pretty great.
Well, I guess the question is Dante, like, did he like turn on Team Taz because it's a double betrayal, or is it because he's truly loyal to Leo?
I will say this. It is a bit confusing to me, but on Shop AEW, there is a shirt now that says, take you on the highest flight. And it is Dante and Leo.
Whoa.
It's because I looked real close. I was like, wait a minute. Is that his brother? No, that's definitely not. That's friggin' Leo Rush. So,
yeah, what's going on?
They put a shirt out, which says to me that they're going to get back together as a tag team. But I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, I have a shirt that confirms that I am on a tag team with Stupid because it says I'm with Stupid.
There you go.
You know what?
I enjoy that joke.
That is the most LA comic thing to say, and it delights me no end.
Yeah, like when you get a flat affect list, that's funny.
So next we have the 8-man tag, Jurassic Express versus the Varsity Blondes. Now during this, Taz is pissed because he's talking about Dante Martin. He's like, it's a breach of contract. I'm going to talk to my lawyer. They suck. My lawyers suck. Like, what the fuck is that all about? Why is he saying that? But anyways, it was Jurassic Express and the Varsity Blondes. Sorry. Versus the Acclaimed in 2.0. So I love the Acclaimed so much. And every fucking time they come out with their gimmick and their attitude, it's just so awesome. And I absolutely adore it. I think this was the night, though, that there was a actual horrible slur yelled at Anthony Boehm.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's audible over the crowd.
Good job, Long Island.
Yeah, you're really showing your true colors there. But, God, it was the whole crowd goes absolutely insane when Luchasaurus gets tagged. They were calling for it for the longest time, and then he finally gets in there. There was a moment when Daniel Garcia was going to interfere, but Eddie got him. Gotta fucking love that. I mean, if you're anywhere in the vicinity of New York and you don't have MJF, Eddie Kingston, and 2.0, you know, making some amount of appearance during the show, then you've scheduled everything incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So this was like a pretty good moment. The Acclaimed tapped. Jungle Boy was able to get that submission. This was a good match, but then Kingston was backstage and the camera didn't really catch what he was saying, which I was upset about because I was like, man, you know what he's saying is good.
But you didn't need to. It was,
it was just like a melee backstage.
Yeah, we just need to see. He was mad and then, sets up that Kingston Ortiz thing.
You know, they talk about how AEW is sloppy sometimes in production, and sometimes that's not good, but sometimes it really lends verisimilitude, and it's kind of nice that you get bits and pieces of things as opposed to this absurdly polished, crystal clear, like well-centered, like moment. True. That wasn't supposed to be captured. Yeah. But yeah, there was a nice melee there.
So this whole thing I gave a thumbs up. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I have a special love for Eddie Kingston's sort of aggro going places walk.
Yeah.
He takes real short steps and he's just like dun, 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 dun.
His eyes are so focused.
It conveys so much in such a unique way. I love it.
He is somebody, he is just so amazingly good at being the person who is entirely like in like being led by pride, by emotion, by defensiveness, or like by all these like these negative qualities, and it's endearing.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's a toxicity that it ultimately adds up to, but it's sort of a pitying sort of a thing where you feel badly that he's going that way because he can't hold that back. He can't like see things in a better light than he is. Like, I don't know. I just really like what he does when he's like this.
It's similar to what Adam Page is doing. It's sort of displaying a vulnerability at the same time as you're displaying strength, and sort of showing that the strength is a defensiveness of your vulnerability. I feel like Hangman's is a little headier, which is why it took me a long time to sort of catch on to it, whereas Eddie's is very straightforward and just sort of readily apparent, hard on the sleeve thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just raw.
It's like, so he says what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And what he's feeling. Like, there's like there's no filter, which I like.
He responds to everything like a wild dog on a chain. Like, yeah. it's really something.
Yeah.
So then we have an FTR promo, and I have to say, I really loved this one. I love how they end with "top guys out." It's just fun. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I gave it a thumbs up.
I did too, and I'm like, because my note was like, I like this again. Yeah. So I think I just want them to space it out. Yeah. Like, you do two, it's kind of like you don't put two tag matches back to back in a show.
If they were to do the same thing every week, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my face.
Every 2 or 3 weeks, they're just great. Just drop in, give me that, get out.
Yeah, I think Tully was doing some neat stuff. Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
Although I will say, you know, with Rampage, he did again say something to Sting about one more time. And I'm
No, motherfucker.
You have no more times.
I think it's ultimately it's one of those things where, like, even like if two like longtime friends who are like 95 like are like, I'm gonna beat your ass, and you're like, oh, ha 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 ha. Like it's the tongue in cheek, because they're like, obviously I can't get out of bed by myself.
Yeah. You
if
know,
it were anywhere but in a wrestling show.
All I got to say is 0 times 0 is still 0. So don't do it, Tully. So then we've got Young Bucks versus the Best Friends. It's actually like, what is it? It's a Super Elite then? Instead,
Super Click.
Super Click. That's it. Super Click. What?
Wait, it's Young Bucks versus Rocky Romero and Chuck Taylor. Yeah.
Wait. Okay. So yeah, we have Rocky Romero and Chuck Taylor. But check it out. Who said he really needs to wash his hair? Oh yeah, Shivani said about Adam. Adam Page, or no, Adam.
Adam Cole.
It's Cole. God.
So really many Adams.
I know. He really needs to wash his hair, and Taz couldn't hold in his honest laughter. I love that shit. I love that.
Well, it's funny to me because, like all wrestlers with long hair, Adam Cole's hair is perpetually wet, like he came out of the shower moments ago.
Yeah, they all love to do that. I don't totally get it, but they all do that. And I remember, who's the Monday Night Messiah? Seth Rollins. His hair was wet, and then during the match it would dry, and you could see what it would look like then if he had walked out and it was just dry.
Yeah.
So
no good.
I guess
that's why we do that.
Why they do that? I don't really know, but
yeah, I don't really get it.
As someone with curly hair that can get a little long, I say that like it
oh,
is.
Oh, you're the one with curly hair. Okay, that's good to know.
You know, hey, I don't see.
Color is very curly hair.
You should try it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, get your God.
Hair wet, wow. And then just, like,
that's
walk
like
around
the kind
street.
Of hint my mom would give me.
I remember this, an old friend whose father would drop these very unsubtle hints about how he should get rid of his beard. And like, it was this guy named Sama. And his father would say, Sama, it's good to shave, huh?
Yeah, right? Oh my God. That's just like this kind of shit my mom would say to me. All right. So this was a fun match. I really like Rocky Romero. The Northern Lights thing is so cool, whatever the fuck that was. I don't know. You know, at the top of the match, I was just thinking to myself, I wonder what's going on with Chuck Taylor. Like, how long is he going to be gone? And then the best friend, I mean, that's what I meant. Trent. God, it's been that long that my brain is totally fried. Anyways, the best friend song comes on and all the announcers are like, but wait, all the best friends are out. So who's this? And then a minivan rolls in and it's Sue and Trent. Oh, and then Trent kicks ass and they all hug.
Yeah.
And Sue is so damn cute.
Oh, man.
Oh, she was really enjoying herself in the middle of the ring.
And the look that we're getting from Trent as well, by the way, like I was like, I'm trying to remember. He didn't look like that.
Well, he didn't have long hair anymore. And that, because he probably had to shave his head like crazy for his surgery. But also, there are too many dudes that look exactly like him right now with a beard and long hair in AEW. White dudes with beards and long hair. Just change it up a bit.
However, white dudes with beard and no hair is also a thing. So you got to kind of split that difference.
That's true. But those dudes with no hair, a lot of them you can't see any of the stubble of hair. But Trent, it was like long enough where you could see where hair is supposed to be.
Well, I wonder if it would help if Trent would just politely let it be known that he's also shaving downstairs.
You know what? He needs to shave into his head. I shave downstairs. Then we'll all know for sure. So yeah, I gave it a thumbs up.
Oh yeah.
Thumbs up. There was a point where I think it was Shivani was running down Adam Cole, and Taz was like, he hates you. And Shivani says, good. And Taz goes like, sneaky man you are.
Silly.
The thing where Taz is like pro heel, sometimes it just comes out in like these really adorable little ways that just, I find so endearing. It's just so wonderful.
I know. Oh, yeah. I love Taz so much. We then have Marvez and Ruby Soho, but it was interrupted by Bunny and Penelope. Now, they called her Ruby Solo.
Mm-hmm. Sick burn.
My favorite bit, though, was Nyla Rose coming out of nowhere saying, surprise, bitch.
And, this is Ruby. Also my note.
Oh, it was so fucking funny.
She said that, I lost it.
I thought your note would be about how the bunny said, here's the thing. And I thought, oh, that's got to wound Chan.
Gimmick infringement? Yeah, I'm not happy about it, but I understand.
You know, you can trademark a gimmick, being that Jericho is trademarking the Painmaker. So anyways, I gave it a thumbs up.
I did too. It was real, it was borderline, because all of the stuff before is just like, very middle of the road.
Yeah.
But the surprise bitch
that
made
got
me laugh
too.
So hard. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
That really got me too.
Yeah, I pretty much like will thumbs up almost anything that Ruby does these days, so it was pretty easy.
All right, so we'll just know ahead of time where your thumbs are for Ruby.
Yeah, and I think that what we can all do collectively is to just put ourselves down as I'm always this for this.
Sorry, I just dropped all my jelly beans.
We're all having technical problems.
If you think I'm not going to leave that in the show, you are so mistaken.
I dropped all my jelly beans. It's like an emergency.
And I'm going to edit it so it sounds like a euphemism. I don't know what it's a euphemism for, but I'm going to make it sound like you're saying something real dirty.
Ew, Tom.
I dropped all my jelly beans.
You're going to Muppet the sound up?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So then we have, I gave that a thumbs up. Then we got Shivani with Sammy in an interview. It was interrupted by Cody Rhodes. I'm loving what Cody is doing right now. The crowd is booing. Cody had a mic in his hand. He has, by the way, insane burns all over his body.
Yeah.
And he just says, hey, Christmas Day, he's going to fight. He's basically saying, like, you have a match with me for the belt. And so Sammy's going to fight Cody for the belt. Then when he was leaving, Cody almost went out the bad guy tunnel, but had to double back and turn around and go the other way. Then the men of the year, Ethan and Scorpio, did an awesome fucking promo. I mean, it was like all in one kind of. It was so great. I mean, this whole thing got a thumbs up, but I'm really loving what's going on with Cody right now. It's very really interesting.
Yeah, it is. That they are like, okay, this is the distribution of reactions. It's not so that we can cleanly do one thing or another, so we might as well fuck with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I middled it just because, like, yeah, it's good that they're doing that and they're pushing it in this direction. I just, like, I don't care to see Sammy particularly. I don't particularly care to see Cody versus Sammy. All of my thumbs, and it's only a middle thumb for this, is they're for match of the, Men of the Year, because I love Ethan and Scorpio. So
okay. Then we have
Alder, what did you say?
It was an up for me. I liked it.
Yeah, see, we're on the right side of history. We've got a promo with Thunder Rosa and Jade. It was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just top to bottom, phenomenal. Thumbs up.
Yep, same.
Couldn't love it more. We've got Jamie Hayter versus Riho. I love Jamie's attitude. I love her hot dogging.
I like her outfit that she's coming out in. It has to be absolutely miserable to be in.
Yeah. The size difference between these two women is bananas. There was a shot where Riho was up against the ropes, so it was like a side view of Jamie against Riho. And like, Riho is literally a single leaf of paper against Jamie Hayter. And I don't know, there's so many. The thing is that Riho is so flexible and stuff that, and she's so tiny that it looks like Jamie is breaking her back in certain moves and all this kind of shit. It's so crazy. It really pushes the reality. And then some of these moves that Riho had were so crazy and fun that you really start to see, well, shit, maybe she has a lot more power than, you know, her stature would have you think. And then towards the second half of the match, which is when it really got exciting, you start to believe it's fully possible. Because I have a hard time. They have to work harder for someone like myself when it's like a tiny person against a big person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do more for me to buy into the reality of that.
Well, Teresa generally makes everyone work harder for her. Like when she goes to a restaurant, she just really pushing them around.
She's definitely the person that doesn't tip and gives the waiters a hard time.
No, here's what I do. I start with 20 singles on the table and I said, I'll take a dollar away anytime you bother me or do something wrong.
That's how things normally work at the strip bars that you go for your lunch buffets. But just don't do it.
Isn't how it works at strip bars. Strip bars, you give them dollars so they'll do things to you. As opposed to, if you do something wrong, I'm removing dollars. You don't go to a strip club and take dollars out of some chick's G-string.
That was
like,
a trick question.
I didn't like that move. Give me my dollar back.
Well, I don't go to strip clubs, but now we know that you do.
If you're smart, you'll rig up every one of your singles with a fishing line so that...
I like that joke. All right. So, yeah, Riho won. It was a good win. It was a legitimate win. She cries a little bit. It was a lot of work to get there, but it's exciting because now she gets a title shot.
Yeah, well, she already had the title shot, but the point of this match was that Britt wanted her Jamie to just like rough her up and try and injure her, so she, you know.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And which I think that's fantastic, because that's what I want to see from Jamie Hayter. It's like, let's see her brutality, and kind of like when you put put Darby Allin in there with Brian Cage or something like that. You know, the big guy gets like fling him around, and you're like, oh my God, that is, you know, oh, it's destroying the poor guy.
One of my favorite kinds of match is like a gauntlet, because of that dynamic, like that you get to watch someone get stripped away, like opponent by opponent, until they're just so badly hurt. And, you know, as they always say, too much going on instinct. But the psychology of it is very satisfying.
I also have the same problem with Riho. Like she is very good, and you know, I'm not going to say that she's not strong. In a arm wrestling match, she would beat me, and she would also kick the crap out of me. Right. But
probably have your ass in Scrabble too.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think I could take her in English Scrabble.
I was going to say, not if Scrabble was in Japanese. You'd fucking lose, buddy.
But again, like, I think Darby does a better job of that. Arguably, Darby is one of the best in the world at that. So it might be not a... well, you know what? No, I would just say it's not a great comparison. But Riho held the women's belt. She was the first AEW women's champion for a while. So she should be held to that standard. And by that standard... she's okay. I feel like they're better out there, and Riho has to work real hard because she is so small.
So
she doesn't always do it for me, but this was a match I enjoyed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So we all thumbs it up?
Yeah.
Okay, so after this, Taz says, Hook is all that and a bag of chips. And I just had to make special note of that, because I love that phrase. I love the 90s. And that's like one of the dumbest fun things that people used to say all the time. And I,
you know, it was a really big moment at first it was just all that. And then somebody was like, you know what? I have an idea.
You know what this needs?
How do we and that one? All that and a bag of chips.
And while we're here, because we recorded this late enough, Rampage has gone by. Did you see it yet, Teresa?
I did.
And Calder, you did. I did. What are our thoughts about just the introduction of Hook?
I'll say this. It was better than Arn's son, but I don't really care to see him wrestle.
Okay.
I mean, against someone like Fuego del Sol, sure. But just stick to Dark or somewhere where I don't watch it.
Fair enough.
I'm not saying he was bad. I don't like his character. I don't like anything. There was nothing for me.
I was impressed by him.
I do think it's fair to say that he is still green, and he definitely should be wrestling more on Dark. He doesn't necessarily need to show up on, you know, Rampage or God forbid Dynamite. But kind of like in the way that Wardlow, you know, is still mostly just, you know, on Dark and stuff like that. Just like, let him do his time. Let him get better. I think they handled it really well. I think, you know, after so long of Hook just sort of being out there, finally getting him on TV, they made him look good. And obviously, you know, he's got a huge upside.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think physically, like, there are bulkier guys, but he has, like, a really impressive physique. And I feel like he has an energy that I like an awful lot. And I was awfully impressed by what he was able to execute, like, at this early stage of development. Then, they were talking about, well, he's, you know, been around this his whole life. And so he has been at some level training for a very long time, but I could see him wrestling on the lower shows more, but the response that I was reading about makes me think that they have no intention but to send him like to the top at some point, probably maybe not soon, but I don't think they see him as anything but a top card guy in the end.
Whatever. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I am sorry that you feel that way, but also, you know, like,
look, my opinion is mine.
We/I also think the same thing about Sammy Guevara.
Now, Chad, right. Watch out, because Teresa's going to spray us with meat pea in a second here.
Oh, dear.
Give me a couple tigers. I'll get that done right away. Then we have Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida doing a promo. This was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Shida was amazing in this, let alone Serena. I fucking love Serena, too. God damn it. I of course, was excited to see this match anyways. But if you weren't, you have to be now. I mean, God, it did exactly what you want a promo to do, which is to get you super stoked to see what's going to happen next.
It's so interesting that Shida is really getting there / there now, and she spent a lot of the, you know, it could be like partly like what audiences do for you. But like her reign as champion was marked by a lot of frustration that she was a little bit colorless,
so reserved. And I mean, like, even when she was angry back then, it didn't come across as angry. And this, I mean, it could very well be the difference between, you know, subtle communication with different country style of communication, subtle communication with Japanese or sometimes Chinese performers.
Well, I'll tell you exactly.
American shit, which is like, you know, in your face, bubblegum chewers.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what happened here is a twin scenario played out where Hikaru Shida spent like months and months hanging out with a Danny DeVito-like twin version of her that is a rude, crude, rule-breaking street hustler.
No, you had to say dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I'm glad that you threw it in there. I wanted to, I believe in you know, leaving things for other people to do, to have teamwork. But yeah, like, and working with somebody like Serena, like helps it out an awful lot. But I think it's at a point where Shida doesn't even need someone super incredible to do it with.
Yeah. Yeah, I would back that up too.
I think a lot of it too is just in the way that you package it, because yes, her English isn't as great as say MJF, but she is a human being who has emotions.
Yeah, and that's all you need.
Yeah, you just figure out how to sort of put that on display. And they were like really working with that with Andrade and trying different things like, oh, how about we subtitle this one? How about we, you know, put a translator in here? They perfected it with the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
You got Alex Abrahantes, who has his own character and, you know, maintains the energy while still translating. And, you know, you're not, you hear Penta's energy, and then you get an additional layer of Alex, you know, being Alex and continuing the energy, and you still get the same information, and it's, you know, there's levels. In this one, she did like they kept it real short. They had her say, "You spoiled everything. I'll hunt you down and make you pay." Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times it took, how many takes it took. It might have been several, and they might even have just like broken it up into just like small phonetic chunks. You spoiled. Okay, let's just try and a few until we get that right.
She's
and then
better than that.
She's better than that. But I'm saying, if it was as broken up as that, you could still make it. You could make it work for anybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like some of the promos that Asuka would do so well.
That's what I was about to say too. Like, where, you don't need to even know the words.
Exactly.
Like it's yeah, like the way she would enunciate, and like, yeah, I don't know if she like understands every single word that she cut that promo with, but it doesn't matter. She hits every word in a very satisfying way. And you're like, yeah, it was one good sentence. And you walk away with.
But Asuka, I don't remember her, at least when we were watching, ever cutting an English promo. And if anything, there would be a word or two.
Well, she, like, her big thing was like, you are not ready for Asuka.
Okay. Well, I, my whole point with Shida was like, nobody needs any translating if you sell the emotion. And the thing with Shida was that she was doing what I'm sure in other places translates as intense, translates as anger, but to us, it falls totally flat because our culture is fucking obnoxious. So we need obnoxious, very big, grandiose personalities to come across when they're being emotionally triggered, right?
If you watch Stardom, like I was doing for a while there, like even their biggest, most flamboyant heels were pretty low key.
Yeah. And because that's the intensity. It's like this intensity sells it. And some of my favorite Chinese films, they're like so emotionally charged, but the characters' faces don't move, but there's like tears coming out of their eyes, like welled up and full on tears, 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 but their faces are fucking stoic as shit. And that is like this intensity, and it speaks to a whole lot of cultural stuff, obviously. But it's like, you know, when you're in that mode, right, you can feel that intensity and you go and you can feel it yourself. But when you're throwing it in amongst a lot of other Americanized stuff, it doesn't translate. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what's a universally understood in every language is meat pee.
Everyone understands that. Kind of hard to get across on television.
Yeah. One of these days we'll have smell-o-vision though, so it'll work. So it was a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
Then we have Shivani with the Varsity Blondes. The lights go out. Malachi Black, Miss Julia Hart.
It was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. I middled it.
Really?
Yeah.
I did as well. I don't want to see the Varsity Blondes. I don't want to see Julia Hart. Of course, in my notes, all caps, I'm screaming, yes, Aleister Black. And yes, for the black mist in her eyes, even though it looked like he got more black mist on, I think it was Griff than Julia.
Yeah.
But, Yeah.
She sold the hell out of it. She was devastated by that mist.
So then we have...
Wait a minute, caller, what'd you think?
Oh, sorry.
I thumbs it up. I thought it was great.
You weirdo.
Okay.
So we've got Bryan Danielson versus John Silver. These are two fan favorites. John Silver is also from Long Island, so, you know, another hometown hero.
I think they only will do a show somewhere if they have a minimum of 5 people on the roster that are from there.
Maybe. This little kid in the front row was losing his fucking shit when Danielson was outside of the ring and kind of nearby. And I was like, oh my God, this little dude, I hope somebody high fives him at some point because he's really going ape right now. Anyway, so this is a really fun match. I don't know what else to say about it, but Danielson won and then started going back to the whole, hey, I said I was gonna kick his head in, so I better go do that. And then Adam Page runs in to help. Yeah.
Delicious.
It was good. I gave the whole match a thumbs up. I mean, what's not to like between the two men?
It's fantastic.
No, what I love is it's something that it feels like until recently was barely allowed to happen ever, which is to have two people that really love wrestling and really want to wrestle each other get to have the match that they want to have, and then you know, like, animate that match with like a level of joy and exuberance that there's nothing like. For those to be like two types of guys like this that could easily be discarded or buried in a million different promotions, but right. That happen to be in one where they are both valued highly. Like, that's just super cool. Like, to get to watch John Silver do what he does when there are things about him that would be disqualifying to so many people, which would be such a shame.
Yeah.
Weird analogy to make, but because we're recording this on Sunday morning instead of
religious stuff again
Wednesday night, I cover SNL for TV right. Line, and last night was the first night back for Kate McKinnon, and watching her just sheer joy. Like, she played Anthony Fauci in the cold open,
right.
Which generally, like, whatever. And the cold opens especially have been pretty meh. But just, like, watching her, it seemed like she was having so much fun. And I was getting drawn in just by that sense of joy. And then a lot of her sketches later, there was one where she just plays a weird old woman, which is her bread and butter, weird right. old women. And they're just so... It makes you feel good because you just sort of sense that she just loves the form of sketch comedy. And yeah, you'll love to see that.
And it's something that I've talked about numerous times with Ruby Soho, like feeling just free and happy with her life and her work and everything. And she brings that to the ring.
Yeah.
I feel like I get to see that so much more with AEW.
Oh, 100%.
Than I remember seeing with other promotions, just due to the fact that, yeah, they get to do what they love. They get to be the characters they want to be, say generally what they want to say. And it's really cool. Side note, Jenai Kai, holy manga. I need to see more of her.
Oh, hell yeah. The kick demon.
Yeah. Definitely need to see more of her. But,
yeah, I really want to, because we didn't see anything from her. She just got squashed.
Yeah.
So I'm very looking forward to seeing more of that.
Yeah. But yeah, I love seeing people live their dreams.
You know what? It's a weird thing that watching people live happy lives can make you be happy if you take that in.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Why people watch the Hallmark Channel and all these Christmas things. My aunt used to be like obsessed with any Hallmark Christmas movie. Like she had to watch it, and I think it's like because she just likes happy endings and sweet things, and like it's like this transference or the property, whatever. I don't know.
The transitive property.
It's some kind of math.
Somehow she absorbed it. And so, like, I don't know. I'm assuming that's why.
I assume so. This was a 95% show.
Ooh.
So, you know what? Maybe you should go check it out.
You might.
Yeah. You must.
And also, I do want to just real quick, because I did go on the Shopee AEW site and I was poking around. There's some new stuff. That Top Flight shirt, they're in a cartoony style that I quite like. But there's also a shirt for Billy Gunn that says "Say When." I don't understand. I haven't heard that catchphrase, so I don't know what it's about. But it's I hate it.
Yeah.
What?
I just hate it. And there's one of Vicky Guerrero called "On the Prowl," and it's this great, you know, sort of Day of the Deadish motif, a lot of skulls and a black panther or possibly a black cougar. I hope.
Oh, yeah. It's a cougar, obviously, because that's her thing.
Incidentally, I think I would love to see an entry in the Blackish universe that is Day of the Deadish.
Sure. Of the Blackish universe?
Yeah. Blackish, Grownish, Mixedish.
Day of the Deadish is.
Yeah, because you said it.
Okay. I'm just checking.
And he rightfully jumped on that joke.
Yeah. Thank you for your support, Teresa.
Well, this show is over-ish. Find us on Twitter at AE Doubleback, on Instagram at AE underscore Doubleback, I guess. Thanks for listening.
I know, I did it wrong. But oh, wow. We're stuck with it.
Hey, be happy and enjoy other people being happy out there.